Now, I'd like to read firstly in the book of Genesis and chapter 4, the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, Genesis 4, and we'll read the first 16 verses of this chapter. Genesis 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, he was angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, I want to read some verses in the New Testament that give us commentary on this story that we've read in Genesis 4. Firstly, in Hebrews 11, and it's verse 4. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Commentary in relation to Abel. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now over to 1 John, a few books further over. First Epistle of John, chapter 3. And we have here New Testament commentary in relation to Cain. We'll read it, verse 12. 1 John 3 and verse 12. Verse 11 ends that we should love one another. Verse 12, not as Cain, who is of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And then a last verse in the Epistle of Jude, again a few pages further on, second last book before Revelation, the Epistle of Jude. And again, this is commentary on Cain in particular, verse 11. Jude's epistle, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So this is a warning in the Word of God, a warning to those who go in the way of Cain. And when you follow the verses down to the end of verse 13, it tells us what the end will be as far as the way of Cain is concerned. At the end of verse 13, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now God will bless the reading of these verses. Here in Genesis chapter 4, we read about these two brothers, sons of Adam and Eve, the first sons that were born in this world, Cain and Abel. And these two brothers, they teach us a lot about the truth of the gospel. And we want to think this evening about the way of Cain and the testimony of Abel. So the way of Cain and the testimony of Abel. These two brothers brought up together in the same family, they heard the same things from their parents. But if we were just to think about where those two brothers are tonight, the Bible would make it clear that they are in two very different places. As far as Cain is concerned, well, we read there in Genesis 4, verse 16, those solemn words that say, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And we never read of him coming back to God's presence. And the verses that we read from the New Testament confirm that he never did get right with God. And there in that epistle of Jude at the end of the Bible there, we read that solemn warning, woe, woe to them that go in the way of Cain, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And that speaks of the judgment of God for those who never get right with God. So Cain made his choice. He made his decisions in life. And he is tonight, we know from the word of God, he is tonight in that awful place of hell. He is in a lost eternity. He is forever in the blackness of darkness. He is eternally separated from God and from the Lord Jesus. Why is he there? Because he refused to come to God in the way that God provided, in the way that was acceptable to God, the basis of a sacrifice, the basis of the shedding of blood of a sacrifice. He deliberately chose to refuse that, and he willfully went out from the presence of God, and he is now where he is as a direct consequence of that choice that he made, that willful choice. He is in a dark, lost eternity. He's in a place where there's no light. He's in a place where there's no hope. He is in the blackness of darkness forever. That is the way of Cain. So there's the warning from the word of God. But what about his brother Abel? Where is Abel tonight? Well, Abel is in the presence of God in heaven. Because we read in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And that verse that we read also in 1 John 3 also declares that fact, in contrast to the wickedness and the evil that marked the works of Cain. What Abel did was the means by which he was righteous. He obtained a righteous standing before God. So Abel gave to God what was acceptable to God and what God had provided for him to give. And on the basis of Abel's faith, by faith, Abel did what he did in offering the sacrifice that he offered. And on that ground of faith, Abel, he is blessed, eternally blessed. He is in the presence of God. He is enjoying the brightness of heaven, and he will do so for all eternity. So two brothers, same parents, brought up together. Abel declared righteous, able to be in the presence of God on the basis of his faith. And Cain, he's in the place of the unrighteous sinner. He's in the darkness of hell. Two sons that were from the same family, and yet they're eternally separated in this way. And that's a solemn thing to think about. And even as we think about those in the meeting tonight, we see families in the meeting. We see brothers and sisters sitting on the same benches in the meeting, listening to the same word of God. And how solemn to think that two brothers, Cain and Abel, who heard the same things, and they made their different choices, and they are today eternally separated because of the decisions that they made. So what are the lessons that we learn from Cain and Abel? Well, three things that I want to try and elaborate on. Number one, the need to obtain righteousness before God because of our sin, because of our sinful condition. We're unrighteous sinners. We need to have that righteousness before God. Number two, the need for faith, and specifically faith in the Lord Jesus, trusting in him, what he did on the cross, his sacrifice there for sinners at Calvary. So the need for faith. And the need to give to God what is acceptable to God and what God has provided in the person of his Son. Because it is only in the person and work of the Lord Jesus that salvation can be obtained. And we can't go our own way and provide something of our own endeavors or our own means. We must come to God on the basis of what he has provided, the Savior that he sent, his well-beloved Son, and the work of salvation that he did, that he finished there on the cross. So the need to obtain a righteous standing before God. Cain, as we've already said, he's in the blackness of darkness. He's separated from God. The unrighteous sinner is not fit for heaven and to be in God's presence. But Abel, he obtained witness that he was righteous. That's what we read in Hebrews 11, verse 4. He obtained witness. He obtained testimony that he was righteous. He obtained a righteous standing before God. And what was the basis for that? Why is Abel in heaven tonight in God's presence? Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel, he offered that sacrifice that was acceptable to God. And that's the great dividing principle between Cain and Abel. Abel is the man that was marked by faith. And faith led him to approach God in a way that was acceptable to God. And it was based on the sacrifice of those lambs that he offered and the blood that was shed of those lambs. And that blood that was shed in Abel's offering, it spoke to God of the blood of his own Son, the blood that the Lord Jesus shed there on the cross of Calvary. And so he obtained witness that he was righteous. So there's the way of Cain, the way of the unrighteous sinner, to go on away from God. And there's the testimony of Abel, the principle of faith that can meet the need of the sinner. And that's the only way in which we can obtain this righteous acceptance before God. It is not by our works. It is not by what we can do of our own hands. Not what these hands have done, we sang in that hymn, can save this sinful soul. But it's the work of the Lord Jesus. That is the means of righteousness. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 9, he said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That would speak of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness in what I can do, as if I can do something to please God that will be acceptable to a holy God. Not mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but Paul says, the righteousness which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He emphasizes it's by faith. It's by trusting in the person of the Lord Jesus. And the same Apostle Paul in Romans 3, he teaches the same truths. as he speaks there in that chapter, that we're all sinners, all have sinned. We're all guilty sinners before God. And he says there, there's none righteous in that chapter. None of us are righteous as sinners before God. So we're unrighteous as sinners. No, not one, none righteous. But then he says in that chapter, he speaks about the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all, available to all, available for all in the meeting tonight, upon all them that believe. So availing for those that will believe, those that will rest in faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the means by which Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. By faith, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. And so question for everybody in the meeting tonight is where is your faith? What are you trusting in? That was a question that I often reference this in the gospel. When the Lord was with the disciples there in the boat, the storm on the lake, and they thought they were perishing. They thought the boat was sinking. They were going to drown. And the Lord stood up and calmed the storm. And there was a great calm on the water. And the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, Where is your faith? Where is your faith? What are you trusting in? And of course, he's making the point that they needed to be trusting in him. He was the one who was able to provide for their preservation. And he is the one, the Savior, who can provide for our salvation. And so it was by faith Abel obtained that righteousness before God. That chapter in Hebrews 11, it's all about men and women of faith. And Abel is the first name mentioned in the chapter. The first man recorded in Scripture to be marked by faith in the Word of God. By faith, Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And so that's referencing Genesis 4, that we read the verses there about Cain and Abel. And we read here how that in process of time, they recognized that they needed to bring an offering to God. Now, they must have been instructed by their parents, Adam and Eve, about the fact that there is a God that they had to deal with. There is a God that we're all responsible to. I'm sure that Adam and Eve spoke to them about creation and the Garden of Eden and the wonderful creation that God made for man. I'm sure that those parents, Adam and Eve, they told them, their sons, that they had sinned and they were put out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin. They disobeyed the command of God. And as a consequence, they were driven out from the presence of God. And I'm sure they told their sons that when they had sinned, they initially tried to cover themselves, to cover their nakedness before God, which is a picture of their unrighteousness before God. They tried to cover themselves with what they could make with their own hands. And we read in Genesis how they sowed those fig leaves and covered themselves before God. But I'm sure Adam and Eve told their sons that was not what was needed to have an acceptance before God, but they would have told their sons that God provided a sacrifice for them. And we read about it in Genesis 3, that God provided for them coats of skins from an animal that was sacrificed, and the blood of that animal was shed. And God gave to them those coats of skins. And that was provided for them by God, an acceptable covering before God. And so those two sons, they learned these lessons about God and how to approach God and the need to come to God based on what He provides. It has to be God's way, not our way. It is that's what He will accept, what He provides. And that's the lesson for us, that we as sinners, we must come to God and give him what he will accept. And the only thing that is acceptable to God is the sacrifice of his son at the cross. And so these two sons, Adam and Cain and Abel, they learned these things. And Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. That means he was an agricultural worker. He was a farmer. He brought to God an offering of the fruit of the ground. So there was a product of his own work, his own labor. It was the product of a ground that was cursed because of man's sin. Could never be the basis to be acceptable to God. But Abel, he was a keeper of sheep, and he brought to God a sacrifice of his flock, of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. He brought lambs, and he sacrificed those as an offering to God. And we read there in Genesis 4, God had respect to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and his offering, God did not have respect. And that's what's meant in Hebrews 11, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What was Cain's reaction to this? He was very angry. He was angry with God. He almost tries to argue with God, which is an impossible thing for man to do. But God says to them there in Genesis 4, verse 7, he gives Cain another opportunity. He says, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? In other words, what God was saying, just to paraphrase that, God was saying to Cain, stop all your arguing and just do that which will please me. And do what I give to me what I require, and give to me what your brother Abel has done. Offer of his lambs, and you will be accepted by me. God was telling Cain what he needed to do, and Cain was filled with human pride, and he wouldn't do that. And his anger continued, and he would not offer what God had in grace told him what he could offer and what would have been a means by which he would have been acceptable before God. So there was nothing in Cain's offering that was that could satisfy God. Nothing derived from human endeavor, the works of man's hands, works that are tainted by our sin. None of that can ever satisfy God. None of that can ever be the means of our righteous acceptance before God. But in Abel's offering, God found that, in Abel's offering, he found that upon which he could execute the judgment that Abel's sin deserved. And Abel's sacrifice provided a basis for forgiveness of his sins. And on the basis of that sacrifice, Abel obtained a righteous acceptance before God. Abel was not relying on his own works, his own means. He was trusting in God. He had faith. And he was resting on the offering of those lambs and the blood of those sacrifices, the blood that was acceptable to God. It was acceptable to God because it spoke to God of the sacrifice that his son would make many centuries later there at the place called Calvary. So there's the principle from these two sons, these two brothers and their offerings. And this is the principle on which you will stand or fall as far as salvation is concerned. A righteous acceptance before God to make you fit to be in heaven and be in the presence of God. It's on the basis of faith, and it's on the basis of a work that is pleasing to God, a work that has been accepted by God, and that is only the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. That is the testimony of Abel. Our own works will never avail. Our own works will never save our soul, but God has provided a means whereby we can be saved. Abel's lambs. God says there in that verse in Hebrews 11, verse 4, God testifying of his gifts, his offerings. God was saying, I'm satisfied, Abel, with your lambs. They speak to me about my son. They speak to me about the sacrifice of my son on the cross. And so on the basis of that, Abel, he obtained that righteous acceptance before God. The Lord Jesus is the one who Scripture tells us is the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist said, pointing out the Lord Jesus when he was walking there on the banks of the River Jordan. Behold, the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. The blood that the Lord Jesus shed on the cross, precious blood, blood that has the power to save, blood that is availing. Put your faith and trust, rest. Find that resting place on the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, and you will be blessed like Abel. That blessing of faith, that blessing of a righteous acceptance before God. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and his sacrifice was of the lambs, but it spoke of the Lord Jesus, and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross is the most excellent sacrifice. That's why it can save. He was a sinless man. He was the sinless, spotless Savior. He wasn't dying on that cross for any sins of his own. He was dying for the sins of others. He was dying for the sins of men and women and boys and girls. And that is the most excellent sacrifice that he accomplished there. And God is satisfied with it. How do we know? God raised him from the dead. God, on the third day, the Lord Jesus was raised, resurrection. God received his son back to heaven, back to his own right hand, said to his son, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. God is satisfied with the work of salvation that the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross. That's where our faith must rest. So there's a decision. There's options for you tonight. There's the way of Cain. There's the way to go on in pride and anger and all of these things that fill the hearts of men, and to refuse what God has provided and to say, no, I'm not going to accept what God wants, even though God is telling me that's what I'll accept. God is telling you tonight from the Word of God that he's accepted the sacrifice of his son on the cross. But the way of Cain is to reject that and to refuse the person of the Savior. But the testimony of Abel speaks to us loudly tonight that there is righteousness before God on the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. It says in that verse in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by it he, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. Interesting thought. Abel, he's still speaking tonight through the Word of God. And Abel had established that principle right at the beginning of humanity, that principle that righteousness before God is on the ground of sacrifice, on the basis of the shedding of blood. And Abel is dead. And he didn't die of old age, because we read how he died. Cain slew his brother Abel. And that tells us about the wicked, sinful heart of man. Murder has been in the human heart right from the very beginning of the human race. And it just goes on and on as men live. If you listen to a news broadcast, if you open a newspaper, you will almost certainly read about murders and men taking the life of other men. And that is because murder is something that is very deeply ingrained in the sinful human heart. And that's what Cain did. He slew his brother Abel. And that was because of his pride. That was because of his hatred and his anger that he did that. But you know, behind Cain, there was the promptings of the evil one, Satan, the devil. It says in that verse that we read in 1 John 3, Cain, he was of that wicked one. That speaks of Satan, the devil. He was of that wicked one. And the Lord Jesus said about Satan, the devil, that he is a murderer from the beginning. And we would judge that that's a reference to Cain slaying his brother Abel. So there was Abel. He'd established the principle, a righteous acceptance on the ground of sacrifice, on the ground of the shed blood of a sacrifice. And Satan tried to obliterate that testimony. Satan prompted Cain to rise up and kill his brother Abel. Satan tried to silence the testimony of Abel. But Satan has been thwarted because Abel's testimony has not been obliterated. Abel's testimony remains to this day. Being dead, he yet speaks, Hebrews 11 verse 4 says. Abel is speaking to you tonight. Abel is telling you how you can be saved on the basis of a sacrifice, the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. That is the testimony of Abel. But are you listening to it? If you're not saved in this meeting, are you listening to the testimony of Abel? Are you going to respond to this truth that you do need to obtain righteousness before God? You need to be saved, and you need to exercise faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross. And so the way of Cain and the testimony of Abel. What was the way of Cain? Genesis 4, verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod. Now, that is not a place of restful sleep. That the meaning of that place, Nod, is a place of wandering. It's a place of the fugitive, the vagabond, as the verses speak. That means a place of one who is running away from God. That's what that means. That's what Cain was doing. He was running away from God. He was rejecting God's grace towards him, and he was running away from the reality of a holy God. And is that what you're going to do tonight? As you come to the meeting and you hear about the testimony of Abel, are you going to go out of this meeting not saved? If that's what you do, you are going in the way of Cain. You are running away from God, the reality of a holy God, the reality of eternity that lies before everyone. And if you go on in that way, then like Cain, you will wander through this earth and you will find yourself in the same place as Cain in eternity, the blackness of darkness forever. That would be the biggest mistake that you could ever make. The absolutely biggest mistake that you could make is to go in the way of Cain and to run away from the truth of God, to run away from the Word of God, and to be a fugitive to God's salvation and to go on in your sins to a lost eternity. So you need to hear the testimony of Abel. And I want to finish tonight. I just want to recount an experience that I had last summer. It requires just a few moments to explain this, but I was cycling down a quiet road in Charleswood, the neighborhood of Winnipeg. It was a quiet summer evening, and it was a peaceful evening, and then the peace was disturbed by the sound of a very loud motorbike. And not only was there the sound of the motorbike, but there was also this very loud, heavy music that was being played on that motorbike. And so I heard this bike coming towards me from a long way back, coming behind me. And the guy passes me, and he's wearing a white T-shirt. And on the back of the T-shirt, in black letters, are the words, Mark of Cain. Mark of Cain. Now, I hadn't seen that kind of t-shirt before, but I knew immediately what it was referring to. Genesis 4, we read the verses. The Lord God set a mark on Cain. Any finding him would smite or kill him because he'd gone out from God's presence and he was in willful rebellion and disobedience to God. And so for someone to wear a t-shirt with the words "Mark of Cain" emblazoned on the back of that t-shirt tells me that that person made a choice. They've made a decision. They've made a decision to reject God. It's very clear that is the indication from what they were wearing on their t-shirt. They were choosing the evil one. They were choosing to side with Cain. They were choosing the way of Cain. They were choosing the way of one who was in rebellion against God. They were choosing the way of one who is now in hell and who is in that lost eternity, in the blackness of darkness. So people, they make their choices. People make their decisions. And you have a decision to make tonight. You have a choice to make. And you might say, well, I'm not siding with that biker fellow who was so proudly displaying the decision that he had made about God. And we trust and pray that that is the case, that you're not siding with that kind of very proud anti-God attitude. But you do have a decision to make tonight, because you've come to the meeting and you've heard the word of God, and you've heard about the way of Cain, and you've heard about the testimony of Abel. And if you're not saved, and if you leave this meeting again tonight not saved, then you're rejecting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You are going in the way of Cain. If that's the decision that you make tonight, you're going in the way of Cain. If you leave this meeting not saved, you're going in the way of Cain. So you need to make a decision. You need to make a choice. And it's a choice that you can make now. It's a choice that you can make as you sit in your seat right now. Not to continue in the way of Cain. Not to go on rejecting God's provision of salvation. Not to go on rejecting what the Lord Jesus did on the cross when he gave himself, when he shed his precious blood. You need to listen to the testimony of Abel. And you can be saved tonight. You can obtain that righteousness before God by faith. By faith, Abel, he obtained witness that he was righteous. Don't go on in the way of Cain. Heed, listen to Abel. He's still speaking tonight. Listen to the testimony of Abel. And as the scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So God will bless his word again.